When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And housekeeping stuff? If you have emailed me to set up office hours and I have not responded to you, please could you, I apologize, but could you please send me the email again? I think I've responded to everybody who has contacted me in the last month for office hours. But this is by no means a reflection of how important or successful I am as a cartoonist. This is a reflection of how many pots I got in the stove that are cooking right now, is that my inbox has been really full lately, dividing my attention in a lot of different ways. And as a result, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to go back and track what hasn't been answered yet, what I haven't responded to yet. So, like I said, everybody should be contacted by now. But if not, just resend it. Gentle reminder, and I will be glad to follow up with you. And, you know, I didn't have a plan for today's Thunder Punch Daily, but I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk about a little bit of organization problems that I've been having lately and some ruminations I've been having about that as food for thought. Maybe my experiences will be useful to some of you guys out there, or at the very least, we will virtually commiserate. Because one of the things I've been dealing with is I've been dropping the ball on a few things lately, and it's partially a good problem to have, because my teaching work has picked up to a considerable degree, and my freelance work. I just got a new freelance job, which is a very exciting job, which maybe I'll talk about later, because I think the lesson learned from this freelance job is that it's a reminder to me that if you do stick to your guns, sometimes things pay off. But let's stay with organization right now and staying on top of things, because and I talked about this on the Art and Story Extreme that went up today, the one the Friday edition of Extreme I did with Mark. I think it's called Overbooked, and I touched on this a little bit because it really bummed me out. I had to let somebody down. I was contacted by a library to do a workshop for them, and I wasn't paying as close attention as I would have liked to my schedule, and I booked two different events on the same day in overlapping times, and I couldn't reschedule. I had to just cancel the class, and I could hear the librarian who had contacted me to do this. I could hear how disappointed she was, and probably a little angry with me, and that doesn't feel very good to do. Although, you know, the thing I remind myself of is that it's not like lives were depending on this. It's not like there are thousands of children crying someplace. I just made somebody's day a little bit more difficult, but that's still not a very nice thing to do. I don't feel good about it. And what was the mistake I made? Well, in past Art and Stories, I have talked about how I rely heavily on calendar apps like Google Calendar. And Google Calendar, with the new iPhone OS, syncs very nicely with iCal. And it sends me little push notifications when I've got an event happening. And what I try to do is set up little notifications in Google Calendar to notify me 24 hours in advance of something I need to have done. So, and in the case of workshops, I'll set it up a week in advance, saying, like, turn your workshop materials in, you know, to the venue. And that serves two purposes. One, it reminds me that if I don't have my teaching materials, i.e., PowerPoint presentation, handouts, if I don't have that ready at least a week in advance, I'm in trouble. And two, it sort of brings into my mind that, oh, you've got a thing next week that you got to deal with. Because when you're booking events months in advance, which happens sometimes I'll book an event, and actually I've got one coming up in October that I booked, I think, 3 or 4 months ago. I'm likely to forget all about it. So having that weekly reminder is a good idea, but I at least give myself a 24-hour advance, and then my phone will give me a little ming, you know, pay attention to me. And I go, what? And I look at it and it says, oh, I got a thing tomorrow that I gotta, you know, be ready for. But in the case of this particular workshop where I dropped the ball, one of the things I did wrong was I did not add it to my calendar immediately after negotiating the event. That's something in the last 6 months, I've taken care to be very attentive towards. Like, so even in the case of like office hours, the moment I get even a tentative date from one of you guys, this is the date I'd like to do it, I add it to my Google Cal no matter what, you know. And then if should the time change, I can just quickly go into Google Cal and change that time. But in the meantime, it means that even if it's just a tentative appointment, I'm not going to overlap it with anything else. There's very little chance that I'm going to do that. I did not do that with this particular workshop that I had to cancel, and that was my first mistake. The other mistake that I think I'm making, and I need to be a lot more attentive to this in Gmail, is I'm not using labels properly enough. Now, I use a lot of labels in Gmail. I can actually just go through real quick and look at some of them that I got here. I've got one that set with a filter to automatically notify me that this is an Art and Story related email. So anything that comes into Art and Story at gmail.com will get marked that. I've got one that is marked whenever something comes in for the Comics Are Great show or the Comics Are Great site. So anytime anybody uses the contact page on there, it's automatically tagged Comics Are Great. I've got one different labels for the different schools I work for. So if I get emails from this particular school, this particular contact person there, it's I have a clear little color bar next to it that says, this is from this school. And so on. I've got one for the Upfair, one for Kids Read Comics. I even have ones that are tagged just for Art and Story Supreme questions and subscription issues and any kind of problems people have with that. So I got a ton of labels, but I don't have a label yet for office hours, and I'm setting that up today as soon as I stop recording, because I think I need to have a clear... The great thing about labels in Gmail, I don't know how many of you guys use Gmail, and I don't want to turn this into a switch to whatever platform system, but I'm sure Yahoo or some of the other free mail platforms that people use, maybe even Microsoft, MSN, right? I think that's what it is. I'm sure they have some kind of labeling system, or at least a folder system that you can avail yourself of, is that once you've got a label, rather than have to sift through my entire inbox, because I don't do inbox zero the way a lot of people do. I leave all my mails just sitting there, and I just look at them by whether or not they're red or starred, whether or not I need to get back to them. And then that new Gmail priority inbox thing is actually pretty sweet. I'm really digging it. But it's still not perfect for my purposes. So I need to make a label for incoming mails that have the words office hours in there someplace. And then that way I can just click that tag in the sidebar of my Gmail page, and it'll show me all the emails that have ongoing discussions where anything relating to office hours has been mentioned. Now, that's not going to be perfect. There's going to be, obviously, some emails that aren't necessarily office hours. Like, those words may appear in another email from somebody else, but at least it'll give me a better filtering mechanism. But again, it's that whole... The thing that I think I'm getting better at, but I need to be a lot more assertive about in my own life, is creating these tags, creating these notifications in my calendar or in my to-do list. I also use Nosby as a to-do list tool. I need to add those immediately, because holy cow, when you start getting into a rhythm of your life and you start taking on a lot of projects, it's so easy for something to slip through the cracks. And nothing, I mean, few things, let me say this, I don't want to exaggerate here, but few things make me feel as rotten as letting down a client or a listener or somebody who's counting on me for something on a regular basis. So I messed around with carrying a Moleskin. Ann got me a Moleskin a while back, one of those calendar ones where it has like the weekly and daily calendar in it. And I take that with me when I'm on the road, when I'm teaching, because you never know. Like, sometimes I'll make a business contact at a teaching event, and they'll say, hey, can you do a thing at our school? And I'll at least have that to refer to. But, you know, it's been so hard for me to crack that thing open and jot down all of my appointments in there when I've been primarily been doing that through Gmail. And what's more is the Moleskin doesn't buzz me. It doesn't go off and make a noise in my pocket when I got to remember to do something. So I'm relying more and more on digital technology for that. And I have been for years now, but I'm just finding that that is so much more effective. Although it is a little tedious to pull out this pocket-sized digital device out of my pocket and have to type in events that way. And also, I have noticed that I've been meeting with some clients, there is an air of, oh, you're one of those guys, whenever somebody asks me about my availability and I pull out my phone instead of a day planner. We're still not there yet. You know, it reminds me of where we were 10 years ago when I was, well, this is more like 8 years ago, when I was job hunting after I got laid off from my day job, and I was hitting all these different graphic design places. And I had a website portfolio up, and I put together a flash presentation on a CD. And I thought, well, this will show how technologically with it I am, is that there was an auto run file on there, an autorun.exe file. And if the prospective employer were to pop that CD into their drive, it would automatically launch a flash player, which play a little intro movie saying how cool I was, and playing a few quotes from satisfied clients, and then it goes right into a portfolio, a flash portfolio that people could navigate through like a little mini website. And I thought, what a good boy am I. I'm showing off that I know my way around these programs, and I can create a classy looking presentation within them to spotlight my design skills. It was 2002. I thought we were pretty far along in terms of digital technology and digital distribution of ideas, but I remember getting specifically turned down for a job because I didn't have a physical portfolio. Now, it's interesting that some comics companies have gone on record to say, don't send us physical portfolios anymore. Don't send us actual pages. Don't even send us photocopies. Do everything digitally. And I think more and more clients are prepared to just review your portfolio online nowadays. But it's been 8 years. But it's just funny that even in 2002, I thought, you know, this is the time where if I know how to do this, all graphic designers got to know how to do this. But I remember being on the phone with one prospective employer who I called him a couple times to find out the status of my application. And he answered with, well, you came to the interview with a CD and not a portfolio. And I said, well, but the portfolio was on the CD. I showed you that. And he said, never come to an illustration or a graphic design job interview without a physical portfolio. That alone was reason to not consider you for this job. And I was like, wow. You know, I was actually more than qualified for the job, but because of that one faux pas, I didn't get in. And that's kind of, you know, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but it is an illustration of how there's always this lack of synchronization between different aspects of your life. And that even though I'm becoming even more reliant on digital technology to manage my time, I still get looks from people sometimes when I'm at a meeting. And instead of opening up that day planner, I pull out the iPhone. Maybe it's a stigma attached to the iPhone. I don't know. And really, you know, seriously, guys, I don't care if it is. I know some people are irritated about Apple and everything. That's fine. I mean, I just use their products. I'm used to them at this point. And I do think they're nice products. But anyway, I don't want to go into that too much more. So, time management. It continues to be a point of contention in an artist's life. And it's something that the more, quote unquote, successful you get at it, the more difficult it becomes to balance. And the only answer I have right now, based on mistakes I've made recently, is immediately jotting it down in whatever thing you use on a regular basis to keep track of the stuff. I'm not talking about on a post-it note, at least for me. I mean, I've got a notepad next to my desk that I jot down ideas that occur to me while we're doing shows, like for putting things in show notes and things like that. So like if Mark mentions a certain site, I'll make a note on that pad of paper and put that into the show notes for Art and Story number 150 or whatever. But I don't, I intentionally do not use that to put down ideas or notes for events and appointments and other to-do things that I need to do, simply because I'm not going to look at that thing again unless, the only time I look at that pad is when I'm putting together the show notes for an episode of Art and Story or for one of the other various audio things I do. The only way I'm going to remember to look at that thing again is if it goes into my digital calendar. Now, when I say digital calendar, I'm not talking about everybody should use a digital calendar. I'm just saying that that's the one thing that I'm always looking at. So it's a situation where I'm just putting it in the thing that I'm always looking at. So if it's a Moleskine, if it's post-it notes on your monitor, whatever it is, but man, oh man, I need to be a lot more... I don't want to use the word proactive, but I just did. A little bit more on top of it and adding right away and creating labels in Gmail right away. Whatever tool you use, I think that I'm noticing that I have about 15 seconds upon thinking about the thing before it's gone. Or it'll pop up 2 days later, but I won't be anywhere near my computer to add it to my calendar. So... it's a never-ending struggle, isn't it? So I guess, you know, this wasn't so much of an advicey one as much as it is like, wow, this gets tough, doesn't it? And I'm sure you guys all feel it. And I'm curious, maybe we can start a thread in the forum for what our best time management devices are, for just for the purposes of sharing it and giving other people ideas for if they're finding themselves in a situation where it's just not working. I'd be interested in finding out if anybody has any kind of like thinking strategies for creating a rhythm in your life to be more immediate about jotting this stuff down instead of just letting it go in one ear and out the other. Because, man, after letting a few people down, it's something I'm going to be... And here's my fear. Yeah, as I say that, my fear is that now that I'm feeling better about it, I'm going to fall into that trap again. You know, you can't just let guilt be the deciding factor on your behavior. There has to be some kind of change internally that makes you change your behavior, right? So anyway, not so much about comics as much as it is about the time management, you know, hassles of being a cartoonist and doing a lot of things. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do this without you. I say it all the time, but I mean it every time I say it. I hope that by repetition, I'm not devaluing the statement. Because it means the world to us that you guys are giving this material, placing a value on it. And hey, hello to the new subscribers. We had a couple new subscribers recently. Thanks for giving this a shot. I hope you guys like what you find there. And if you haven't yet checked out the forums, you get by subscribing to these shows, you also get a forum account. So go ahead and hit the forum link at the top of the artandstorypodcast.com website. And you can go in there and introduce yourself and check out some of the great conversations that are going on with the Art and Storyers. So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember everybody.
Orko certainly helped us out in today's adventure, and he learned a good lesson too. He made a promise to the Ice Lord he thought he could break, but Adam showed him you shouldn't make a promise knowing you're not going to keep it. People judge you by many things, your appearance, your honesty, the way you act. Those things show your character. When you make a promise and don't keep it, it shows bad character. So always think before you speak and mean what you say. That way what you say will be respected. See you again soon.